So we have Miriam Ortiz-Pino here with us as a segment that we're doing on organizing your life. Welcome.
Hi. Nice to be here.
We're going to talk about organization. Well, I should say first that if you have a comment to make or a question, you can go to the KUNM website and you can, it has shows, upcoming shows. It has a place for Women's Focus and it has this headline. You can click on it and get to the headline about organizing to better your health, I think.
Four ways clutter affects your health.
Oh, no. Well, or that's your,
that's
but
what,
I put a different headline on it. But yeah, I think, anyway, organizing in your health. And you can make comments there during the show, or you can ask questions that we'll be, and we'll be looking for your comments. So that's one thing I should announce. But I wanted to talk about this, what Miriam had on her blog, and that is four ways, as she said, to sort of take control of your clutter and help your health. And then I thought we might talk a little bit about how organizing food and cooking and that sort of thing helps your health also. So anyway, that's what we'll do. So let's start with the four ways.
Well, these are just four ways that people often overlook. Everybody knows about the health part, but I mean the stress relief part, because that's usually, you know, a bit of overwhelm and everybody thinks, oh, I need help with my clutter because I'm overwhelmed, I'm stressed out, I'm freaking out. But there's little ways that that can show up as well. And I found four of them that are pretty consistent through all my clients. And that's the improving their sleep, their nutrition, dealing with ADHD or ADD, and just breathing issues. Yeah,
what does breathing have to do with it?
Breathing, well, funny you should ask. It's usually a dust thing. You know, if you have enough clutter, you can't clear your surfaces to dust. The dust piles up. You ignore your clutter a little bit longer. A lot of clutter tends to be paper-based. So there's also the paper fibers. And some clutter is cloth-based, like clothes or linens. And so you get the cloth fibers as well. And then if there's any food involved in the clutter, there's chance for mice and rodents and things. And all that gets in the air. And then you can't breathe. And the number of people with asthma these days is crazy ridiculous. And a lot of it could be helped immensely by just keeping your clutter down.
Wow, that's easy.
Yeah.
Well, not so easy.
Well, right. I mean, it's easy on the
surface.
The idea is
easy.
Right. So it just kind of kills me sometimes when I go to a client's house and they have seven or eight inhalers around. They're all kind of half full. Their kids also got asthma. And we're picking through a pile of dust-covered whatever. And it never occurred to them that by cleaning that up and vacuuming that corner more regularly, they might not need the inhaler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, but true. And kind of so obvious that people don't realize.
You know, when I think of that subject, I do it mostly reading about the special pillows that you can get and the special bed clothes that you can get and also rugs and all that kind of thing. And
right.
I sort of think of controlling dust and things that way, which of course I never do.
Right. Well, yeah, you have to be able to vacuum your floor and wipe your surfaces down easily. And if there's stuff all over them, or the other thing I see is my clients will go buy all that stuff. It's something they can buy.
Mm-hmm.
They think it's going to fix it. They'll buy an inhaler. They'll buy a pillow protector, but they'll leave the old linens in the corner collecting dust right next to the bed. So, you know, unless you put a allergy resistant sheet over your piles of clutter, it doesn't really work.
Okay.
I guess that's an option. I never thought of that before.
Well, you don't want to suggest that.
No. Clearing out the clutter is going to help you in other ways too. So I would go that route first.
Okay. So let's back up. That was number four, right?
Right.
We pounced on number four. Let's go back to some of the others.
Okay. Probably the next one that's often surprising to me is because it so often affects the kids in the house is the ADHD or the ADD issue. And if the kid has it, the number one thing all the books say is to have a nice clear, clutter-free space to work or play in. Because that way they can focus. They're not distracted by all the bright, shiny objects around. So it's kind of crazy if you have a kid with ADHD and you're giving them a bunch of medicine and not cleaning out their toy box very regularly and very thoroughly. You know, or they can't do their homework at their desk, or in the case of ADHD, usually standing at their desk. If they can't get to their desk because it's covered with toys that they'd much rather be playing with than doing their homework in the first place.
And do you find that?
All the time.
Hmm.
Yeah. You can't expect a kid with ADHD to concentrate if he's got 37 choices in front of him. So clearing a little space is going to make a huge difference in both of your lives. It'll be less frustrating for the parents as well.
How do you draw the line between wanting to present something that is not, I mean, you're sort of cutting down the stimulus.
Yes.
And wanting kids to be stimulated because that's what they need for their brains to grow and to learn and things. I guess that's what I should ask a doctor, not you.
Right. And, you know, I don't actually know the exact actual answer to that. However, I do know that kids given two or three choices versus 37 choices mm-hmm. are much more happy and content and will focus on those three things and have a wonderful time.
Oh, okay.
You put 37 choices in front of them and their heads spin around a little bit. I'm not saying nothing in the way. I'm saying just keep it down. Let them have the space to rest their eyes or their mind on and focus on just the one thing in front of them.
Okay. Okay. That sounds good.
So the next one is probably, oh, let me just say one more thing about the ADD, because a lot of adults, especially entrepreneurs and crafty people, have a lot of ADD as well.
Yes. I was going to say that, but okay.
Yeah. So, you know, kids is where it's most obvious because most people are trying to do a bunch of stuff to help their kids. And so they skip that one all the time. That's the one they'll skip out of all the tips and suggestions. But if you are an adult that suffers from it as well, there's still that keep your focus by having fewer items in front of you and fewer distractions and working in the things you do keep that will help you. So it's more about coping and dealing with than trying to correct it or cure it. It's working within your abilities with ADD. I'm a little bit hyper. So I move constantly. I stand up. I pace when I talk on the phone. I, you know, love working with my clients because I'm up and all over the place. And I can get intensely focused as well. I can sit at my desk and work for 6 hours and not take a break and not even really realize. So I have to build things in to get myself up out of the chair when I'm working at my desk. And mm-hmm. I have to work standing up a lot of the time so I don't, you know, the pacing while I'm on the phone so that I can focus on what I'm doing. Otherwise, I do spin around a little bit. So there's ways to work with some ADD and ADHD that are mildly clutter affected.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a lot of clutter, you're always going to be like, oh, what's that? What's that? I should do that.
While you're doing something else.
It's, for adults, it's much more like the shoulds. I should be doing that, or I could be working on that. And so it takes you out of the ability to focus on the cool, creative thing you want to be doing.
Hmm. Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
And let me again say that if anyone wants to make a comment or a question, they can go to the KUNM.org website and get to the Women's Focus page, and which is, if you go to the homepage, it says programs that are coming up, and it has Women's Focus, and then click on the headline there about organization and clutter, and it'll bring you to this page where it gives you a chance to make a comment. And you can do that during the show. We'll have a chance to look at your comments or your questions, or you can do it after the show, and we'd be glad to have that happen also. I'm talking to Miriam Ortiz-Pino, and let me say again that the name of her company is More Than Organize. This is about the fourth in our sessions that we've talked about these specific things about being organized. Okay, we're talking about four ways that clutter affects your health, and we've talked about two.
Yeah. So, okay, breathing done, ADD done, nutrition. Let me leave nutrition actually for the end because that one we might want to go longer on.
Okay.
So let me skip up to sleep. You know, a lot of people have sleep issues these days. Some of them are breathing related. So we've already dealt with that a little bit. You know, a lot of people have CPAP machines and all those accoutrements as well because they can't sleep and they think it's their breathing. Well, maybe. A lot of people can't sleep. They have insomnia or they go to sleep and they wake up. A lot of that is worry. And if you're worried about a lot of stuff, sometimes that can be because you don't know what your stuff is. You know, just listing it on a list might help some of the worry. Make sure you remember. So I always recommend people that are having trouble sleeping to keep lists and a notepad by the bed so they can actually write stuff down that's keeping them up. Because once it's kind of in a safe place, you don't have to worry about it anymore. You can go back to sleep. The same thing, though, is...
People are worrying because they think they're going to forget?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They think they're going to forget, or how am I going to get to it? I have so much to do. And just by writing it down, it kind of takes it out of your mind so you can focus on one or two things and figure out how the pieces fit together. And maybe you can do two things on the way home tomorrow instead of two separate trips or, you know, whatever's going to save you a little bit of time to make it less overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there's a couple things. It takes the worry out and it helps you see the patterns to be able to solve the problem in the first place. But clutter itself, not just the mental clutter of it, but the physical clutter around the room can affect your sleep as well. You know, it might cause drafts or, you know, to be too hot or too cold if it's blocking heating and air conditioning units. It can stir up enough dust, so it's hard to breathe, you know, just like if it's mild irritation. It can, you know, be noisy in the corner if the fan is blowing. Maybe your papers are shuffling a little bit in the breeze.
Yeah.
The cat might knock over a stack of books in the middle of the night. You know, there's all these little things that might interrupt your sleep because you have clutter. You might get up to go to the bathroom and trip over something, and then you can't get back to sleep, and you're all pissed off because you've stubbed your toe. And, you know, it's little bits of clutter that just kind of creep in and affect it. There's also the theory in feng shui that if you keep anything under your bed, it kind of keeps the energy from flowing. So if all the stuff you've meant to take care of has been pushed under the bed when people come over, or you store a bunch of stuff so you have extra storage space, that sometimes can block just good energy flow in the room. And, you know, I actually have clients that can't even sleep in their bed because it's covered with stuff they meant to do during the day, and then they're too tired to clean it off the bed at night, and so they crash out on the couch one night, and 3 years later, they're still sleeping on the couch. So, you know, think about, what would make a nice, relaxing place to sleep? You know, can you sleep in a hotel room? Does that work for you? There's nothing there. That's why. you know, it's a cozy...
It's not the bed.
No.
And the mattress.
Occasionally, but not... It's much more that there's, you know, a certain amount of freedom and relaxation involved in the fact that there's not a bunch of stuff calling for your attention around the rest of the room. So
what you're saying is that you should get your stuff out of the bedroom.
Yeah, I'm a real big believer that bedrooms are for sleeping, for dressing, and for sex. And that's about it. Maybe reading. But very little should happen in the bedroom because it needs to be a relaxing kind of oasis place. TV's bad. Game system's bad. Checking your phone and email in bed only when you're sick. I just, you know, I've had insomnia myself, so I know how much of a difference it made when I had an actual bedroom versus when I lived in a studio apartment and everything happened in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and when you suggest to clients that they do this or that this is a problem for them, are they able to take care of it? Are they able to change it?
Usually not in the beginning. Usually they think I'm kind of crazy about that, and they're like, oh, that can't possibly be why I can't sleep. So then, you know, I just mention it, and then we go tackle whatever it is they actually called me in for, the papers or something, and then we get back around to the bedroom, and they always notice a difference, and they always comment about it afterwards, but I sometimes have to sneak it in. Because the bedroom it's also a private area, so it's not public, so there's not the same level of shame involved if your bedroom's messy as if your living room is messy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they just, you know, I can close the door, that doesn't matter, that's just my space.
Mm-hmm.
I don't matter enough to make the change, comes into it sometimes. So it's kind of the last room that people let me in.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah. I think it should be first for everyone, but... Rarely can I talk them into that.
Interesting. I can well imagine.
Yeah. All right. So any other sleep questions or?
No, let's go to nutrition.
Okay. Nutrition. This one's always fun. Okay. So if you can't get to your sink to wash your dishes, to have something to eat off of, you're much more likely to go grab something on the way home that you can eat out of a container. If you can't get to the stove to cook the food you picked up at the grocery store, you are not going to cook it. So it's going to go bad, and then it's going to be in the way, and then you're going to go get something on the way home from somewhere that has it in a container. There's all these things that are little bits of clutter that cause people to not eat healthy. So the other thing is the Costco thing. No offense, Costco, but you sell too much food to people that don't need that much food. It's great for people with huge families, but an example I used in another article I wrote that was related to this was, you know, I'm a single person. If I buy two giant jars of mayonnaise, that takes me about 7 years to use those. Mm-hmm. But the expiration date is usually in 2 years. So it might be a great bargain, but I'm not going to use enough to make the space that it takes up feasible in my case.
But everyone knows that.
They do it anyway. So I'm just trying to, you know, the more ways I say it and the more ways I make people laugh about it, hopefully someone will get the message, because they do it anyway. It's on sale. It's a bargain. So really, with the nutrition and the food, it's mainly about how much space are you taking up in your pantry, in your refrigerator, on your counters with bad food choices that take away the space for the good food choices. And how much...
So do you get people to go through their refrigerators the same way they go through their closets?
Oh, yeah. We do everything. I mean, if you're trying to lose weight and three of your pantry shelves are full of snack food, you're not going to do well. I don't do well. I mean, I make it a policy in my own house to not buy snacks. Or I will buy like one snack when I'm at the grocery store. I'll stock up for like the whole month and I'll buy like one bag of chips or one bag of cookies. And that's kind of my treat for the next however long. After that, if I want a treat, I can go get it. But it's going to require me to put on my shoes and my pants and get in the car and go to the store, or walk to the store and get that treat. And then come home. You know, it's like I make it a big ordeal to go get it, so I'm less likely to want it. Mm-hmm. And I like pulling everything out of the pantry just so people see how much snack food they have. They will tell me, oh, I just have a couple things. And you pull it out, and it's 27 bags of four different flavors of chips, all of them half-eaten because they were eaten kind of on the sly and then tucked back behind so someone else in the family wouldn't know they ate it. There's the candies and cookies on the other shelf and hidden behind the cereal. And, you know, once you pull it out and see it in a different, from a different perspective, like on the counter or on the floor, it's a huge difference in the how you view it.
Okay, so what you try to do is get people to take everything out.
Yeah.
Of their shelves and in their refrigerator.
Right. Take a look at the food you actually have. The amount of duplicates is crazy, too. And that's because people put it away kind of wherever there's space, not categorized like the grocery store is. Mm-hmm. So they'll say, oh, I'm out of oatmeal. You know, they're trying to eat healthy. Oh, but I'm out of oatmeal. So they go buy more oatmeal. That day they eat some sugar cereal because they saw it on the shelf. They go buy the oatmeal for the next day. They use it once, put it away in the pantry on a different shelf. So now you have two things of half-used oatmeal in two different places taking up space. And next week when you go to have oatmeal, you're like, where's that oatmeal I just bought? I don't know where it is. Oh, here's the sugar cereal. I'll have that instead.
Let me tell you that we did have a comment coming in.
Oh, cool.
And it says that it seems as though your humor is coming across it as a little bit of mocking of the clients.
Yes.
Is that how you get them to do things, by humor?
I do. And I please know that my mocking is from a place of love and trying to get you to see things from a different perspective. Because the other thing that happens with a lot of my clients is there's been a huge amount of denial for a really long time. And no one calls them on it. And so they think everything's good because no one else has mentioned that. So I'm not trying to put you on the defensive or make you feel like a bad person, but know that I know you can change from here forward. And by recognizing the fact that maybe you have too many boxes of sugared cereal and you can't find your oatmeal, you might just finish up that box of sugary cereal and not buy it again and put your oatmeals together so you can eat that.
Okay. One of the things that I think affects nutrition or affects meals is, and as far as organizing, or at least I think, maybe I'm, it's one of those things that I've pinned my hopes on, is having a system, which I don't seem to be able to have, for dealing with leftovers and dealing with and putting things into small packets, making soup and having it in the freezer so that you can pop that out when you need something to eat right away, instead of buying things that are have a lot of sugar and salt in them.
Yeah, if that's one of those things you struggle with, I don't necessarily think it's worth fixing. There's, I never do that. Those are some of those housekeeping hints that you read in a magazine that sound really great on paper, and then when you go to actually do them, you know, the cook all your meals for a month in a Sunday kind of stuff never works. You're never ready to eat that thing on the day you defrost it, or the family makes other plans that night and stuff lingers too long in the freezer and not rotated through the kitchen, right? I find it much easier to figure out like 5 to 10 meals that your family loves, that you know they're kind of tried and true. You know, they'll do tacos, they'll do pizza, you know, whatever it is. And have those ingredients in your pantry at all times, so that when there's a night where you're pretty tired, you can just, you know, throw a bubbly and some sauce and some veggies on it, or, you know, whatever it is, very quickly. You know, like a 10-15 minute meal. Versus thinking the day before to take it out of the freezer so it thaws enough, and then hoping you get around to eating it before it goes bad in the fridge because it's already pre-cooked. You know, there's just some things aren't a big deal to throw together quickly. And if you have some standbys like that. Now, in terms of the prepared foods and stuff for other nights when you're tired, you know, there's plenty of healthy choices available in the grocery stores these days. And it just a matter of having them in your pantry available and handy so you can grab them. You know, I try to go grocery shopping about once a month to stock up on my usual shopping list. You know, a couple cans of beans, some soup, some potatoes, you know, some of the basic pantry type ingredients. And then I just go to the corner store more regularly for the produce or the meat and the dairy stuff for that week.
But if you're cooking for yourself, which is what I'm doing, then you're bound to have things left over.
No, you learn to cook for one.
Well, I mean,
you gauge your recipes.
It's hard to get people to sell for one.
Oh, it depends on where you are. If that's true, I do. When I buy meat, I'm really lucky. My grocery store actually has a butcher shop, so I can go buy one pork chop. It's not a problem. Not everyone has that in their particular store. But if I have to buy a package that's bigger, I will split it and freeze it. But I will buy one package, freeze it, and use it, then the frozen one, the next week. Mm. Like, I just kind of put it in my rotation. I have my 10 go-to meals that are pretty much just rotated. Makes it so much easier. You know, and then there's special occasion cooking. But for the most part, it keeps things simple during the week, you know. Is it a pasta night? Is it a rice night? Is it a, you know, cooking for one? I'm not the biggest foodie out there. My friends are laughing right now because I don't actually eat vegetables. But I don't have to deal with that part. But, you know, you can get away with doing something like rice and chicken breast or rice and a turkey burger. You know, there's some basic meal components that you can just get really adept at preparing very quickly. And then you just change the sauce on them or the herbs you put on it.
Do you suggest to your clients that they do a shop for food at a certain time or do things like that?
You know, not really, because everyone likes to shop at different times. I actually really like going on Thursday mornings right after the just drop the school kids off rush is over. So smack dab in the middle of Thursday mornings, there's like no one in the store. It's great. But some people like to shop at night. Some people like to shop Saturday when everyone else is out. It's totally up to you. But I would make it kind of a regular thing. It's much easier to do it and do it well if you do it on a regular basis at kind of a set time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So this is the way. Why don't we just sort of go quickly through the four things about uncluttering and improving your health?
Right. Okay. So we'll just go through the way they were actually on the blog. Decluttering can help you sleep better, creates less worry and less background noise, if you will. It can help your nutrition because you can actually more easily prepare and shop for and consume healthy choices. It can help with ADD and ADHD because there will be less bright, shiny objects wanting your attention, and it'll allow you to focus much more intently on whatever the project you really want to be working on is. And it'll help your breathing because less clutter means less surface space to catch dust, which means less dust in the air for you to be breathing in and irritating your breathing issue.
And when you've made these suggestions to clients, how successful have they been at dealing with them?
Once they make the connection, you know, once I get through the denial and the excuses and we make the connection and we actually get rid of some of the clutter and they've experienced it for a little bit, literally a few days, and they will be like, oh, wow, that really did work. I can't believe I put that off so long.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
And if you don't believe me, you can go read some of my testimonials.
Great. So this is something that can be done and it's worth doing.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, this is Miriam Ortiz Epino, and the name of her business is More Than Organized. This is about the third or fourth in a series that we've been doing of segments on specific organization problems or clutter problems and what and how they relate to your life. And we'll have you back another time. And,
great.
And we'll let people know. Thank you for the listener who made the comment on the website, and we'll let you know through the website and through Facebook, KUNM's Facebook page, what we're going to talk about so that you can make your comments also.
Yes.
And I guess we should say, you should give out what your website is.
Oh, yeah. My website is morethanorganized.net. And actually, if this topic was of interest to you, I have a upcoming workshop on the clutter inside, the weight clutter connection. So you can find that on my website as well if you want to go deeper into that particular topic.
Well, we just had a caller call up and ask how it is that you get people to stop having computers and things like that in the bedroom. Especially, he was talking about trying to get his wife to do that.
Well, you unplug it from the wall and you carry it into another room.
But how do you convince her?
You set up a really nice workspace for her in the other room. Yeah, I don't know. It's you just keep approaching it until... without blame. You just say, hey, wouldn't it be nice if we had our bedroom back for relaxing and playing? And then maybe that would work. You just keep going and asking from different perspectives until the connection is made.
Without judgment, right? Okay.
But it technically, it's as easy as unplugging it and moving it to another room. So if she says that it's not an easy thing, you can say, yes, it is. Look, we just... All
okay.
Right. With
okay.
Caution.
Okay. Thank you for the caller who called in and with that question. And we'll have to think about that some more for next time. Thanks.